Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring Pastor's anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through Pastor's teaching and preaching, and that you will be built up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, please visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
See, we have different calls in the church. As your pastor knows, there's a call of a pastor's heart, a call of an evangelist's heart. But that comes from in here that God puts in you. You don't have to be an evangelist to set the world on fire. Most of the great revivals happened because a few people wanted it. And a few people wouldn't let go of the gates of heaven until it happened. This is a true story. Evangelists went to a small little church. They believed in the gifts. Had a whole bunch of grandmas. Praying grandmas. And they knew there was something bad in this church. They knew that there was an undercurrent, but they couldn't get anybody to hear. The evangelist came in and he said he'd never felt such an oppressive spirit in his life. He said, I almost turned around and ran out. He said, the first day they introduced me for the revival, I got up there, preached for 10 minutes, and wanted to run away. He says, when I first walked in, a little old lady looked at me and said, you going to preach? You ready to preach? He told her, yeah. He says, as I was walking out, he says, I didn't even want to look at her. I looked away. And he said, she grabbed me with her cane and said, brother, you call that preaching?
Amen.
Meet us here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. He's like, well, I didn't know what to do. He said, I was supposed to be back there preaching that night. I couldn't tell them now. So he came by the church at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's these grandmas, all on their faces, praying and weeping. And they didn't tell them why. They just told them they wanted a revival. They were praying and weeping. He said, they started talking to God. He said, it just went crazy. Then all of a sudden, one of the old grandmas yelled over to the other, you got the anointing oil? He said, she pulled out a 5-gallon. He said, I'm sure it was only a quart, but it must look like a 5-gallon jug of anointing oil. He says, then they looked at me and said, get them, girl! And they attacked. They laid hands on, they started praying, they started singing. He says, then the one with the bottle just emptied it on my head. He says, after about 10 minutes, they just all got quiet and left. And here I was in the middle of the floor in a puddle of crying and sweat and anointing oil. Well, that night he came in. And again, he didn't want to look at him. And the old grandma grabbed him with his cane and says, you're going to preach fire tonight, son. I just know it. God's told me you're going to preach fire. He gets up, starts preaching. Preaching the gospel. Preaching with more fire and vim, but he can't figure out where he's going. He starts talking about David. Next thing he knows, he's talking about David and Bathsheba. He's working his way down the aisle, and he's not quite sure why. He's preaching. He sees this man. He's coming through the aisle. He gets to the point where David falls with Bathsheba. And he puts out his finger in this man's face and he says, that, sir, is you! He didn't know why he said that, but the guy came out of the pew about ready to rip his head off. He says, I've never seen such a look on my life. And he says, it was as if the angel of God just did that to him and he fell down. Those old ladies, grandmas, wanted a revival so bad they wouldn't let go. Well, it turned out that that gentleman was very rich. He was having an affair with the lady in the church. But the church wouldn't do anything because he was tithing 90% of their income. But the little old ladies didn't care. They wanted the will of God done. And before that evangelist was done, that was a different church. And why was it? Because they would not faint. How many times have you been told by somebody when you're praying something, don't do that. Pray only the will of God, or only this. God lays something on your heart, pray it until He tells you not to. I don't care what they say about, oh, Jesus never had to pray through. Well, you get down on your knees, you start praying till drops of blood come out of your head, and you tell me you're not praying through. We know Luke was a doctor. He tells us he had drops of blood. It's a medical fact. We can be under such physical stress that we break the blood vessels up here and bleed. It's a physical truth. And everybody said, well, Jesus didn't want to die. No, Jesus was not saying, I don't want to die. Jesus was praying that night, don't let me die till I fulfill it. He was human like you and I. You think you could take what he was going through? And what he knew what was coming up. He knew the beatings. He knew the whippings. He knew the hanging on the cross. He knew the spitting. He knew the torture. He knew the nails. That drive me to my knees praying, God.
That's right.
It don't take that much to get me to go to my knees. He didn't faint, and we have salvation. Those little old ladies didn't faint. They wanted the will of God. They had a powerful church. You guys want to see every pew in this place totally filled? Two or three services? Will of God. That's what it is. Sow. What you sow, you shall reap. Don't sow of your flesh. Sow of the Spirit. Let's look at poor old Job. I love Job. Job's one of my most favorite books in the Bible. I honestly feel if Job had gotten it right, Job would only be like three or four chapters long. But Job didn't get it right, so we have 39 chapters of Job. So we should learn something from Job. We should not just let Job go by. Now we're in chapter 4. And we are where poor Job, again, is getting told that he's done something evil. Let's look at, verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same, by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils they are consumed. Now, I want you to look at this situation because I'm trying to give you a little insight into being discerning about the will of God, since that's really on your pastor's heart, and I believe you guys should follow him. And if I could be here, I'd be here every night. You guys have that. What does Job say? Nothing. See, that was a trick question. Actually, it was a glitch in my brain. What does Job's quote-unquote friend say? He says to him, have I ever seen the innocent hurt or the righteous cut off? How many times have you heard that? When something goes wrong in your life, there's always that mighty and pious one that's got to come up to you and say, you were doing something wrong, you sinner. God, you know the old song? The country western song, I just add God. God never promised you a rose garden. Okay? Things happen. They occur. As Christians, God sent in laws. My wife and I pray every single day for protection. Because we've noticed in all of our studies and readings that Christians get to the point to think they're automatically protected by God. Get in trouble. They take advantage and they get in trouble. But where does God promise you that absolutely nothing is going to happen to you? But what's happening? Poor old Job. This guy doesn't know what he's talking to, but what does he say to Job? The only thing this guy got right was if you sow iniquity and evil, you're going to get it back. So he just automatically said, oh, Job's having a bad day. He's lost everything. He's evil. How many times have you seen that? Where we Christians, instead of embracing a brother and saying, let's pray, let's go to the Lord and get a word, we say, you're evil. I'm going on this pew over here. Dale and I were talking the other day about unity in the body. And there's a fine line between love everybody, like some of the major denominations are doing, everything, every kind of sin, they're just embracing and loving in Jesus' name. But can you imagine what would happen? I can't speak for you here, but when I was a young pastor working in the church, I remember Fifth Sunday rallies. I remember when the churches in the whole town would get together and we would go from church to church singing, praising the Lord, and end up at one church somewhere and have a big potluck. And it was every church in town. Nobody was saying, you're the Baptist, you're the Christian, you're the Church of God. It was everybody. We'd get together, have a few sing-alongs, and we'd go on down the road to the next church in an hour. And we'd take the fifth Sunday and do that, have a fifth Sunday rally every Sunday. When was the last time that happened? I can't even get the churches in Pinedale to cooperate. And it's 1,100 people. And sadly enough, we have about the same ratio of bars to churches, which is sad. Let's walk a little further. Let's look at Hosea and see what Hosea says about sowing. Hosea chapter 10. So you can probably just go all the way to the back, unless you did like I did and overshot. Come on, reading glasses. Bail me out. There we are. Okay, here we go. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till what? Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Amen. Have you ever thought of it that way? When you pray to the Lord, you're actually sowing the ground with the proper seeds. That's what it says here. Sow it in righteousness. Plow it. Break up your fallow ground before the Lord. And what's He going to do? He's going to come and rain righteousness on you. Man, that sounds good. I mean, that just sounds fantastic. I was sitting here this morning as we were singing songs and praising, and Spirit of the Lord was upon me just so beautifully, and part of it was just the thought of praising God. See, part of sowing what you sow, what you reap, is the same thing with the talents. God isn't going to ask you for more than you can do. He's not going to ask you to give back more than you can. He's not going to tell Dale to sow $10,000 because he'll get it back. If God knows, Dale doesn't have $10,000 to sow. Because God's not going to put Dale in bankruptcy and say, you will do this. No. Now, He may use Dale because He knows he has a beautiful voice and so does his wife. And He may say to Dale, I want you to go to church over here and I want you to preach and teach. And that's Dale sowing his righteousness into the kingdom. See, when we sow, the most classic verse on sowing, which everybody uses, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and as a pastor I should be able to recite this one, but my brain, I tell everybody I suffer from sometimer. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. Chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He which soweth abundantly shall also reapeth abundantly. Okay? Now we always tie that directly into the next verse, which says, every man according to his purpose in his heart, let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God love a cheerful giver. So, we'll go on. And God is able to make grace abound towards you. Nope, I'm in the right place. Grace abound towards you that ye always have sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. How many of us reap sparingly in our lives? And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking your spiritual life. When was the last time that the Spirit just came over you in such power that you just really couldn't control yourself because you felt so happy? You were, with what Paul says, joy unspeakable. Amen. You couldn't describe it to your neighbor. He would have probably thought you were nuts because you're so happy.
Amen.
See, we fall, I believe. This is, and I, it's not here. It's, as I call it, the gospel according to Jay. Whenever I say my opinion, that's what I call it, the gospel according to Jay. I believe that we as Christians fall so far below where we should be, it's not even funny. I think that Jesus, when he said, if you have a grain of mustard seed worth of faith, you can move a mountain, I believe he was telling the truth. I believe he knew it. How easy is it for your faith to waver? You pray for an hour and nothing happens. You pray for a day and nothing happens. Mary and I, and this is a true story, Mary and I have a little niece going on 6 years old right now. You see her, she's vibrant, alive, just like any normal kid, and she's accelerating. 5.5 years ago, she was small, puny, discolored, and couldn't grow. Nobody knew why. Then one day they did a complete physical and they discovered two things. She had a hole in her heart and her aorta was attached to the wrong side. So therefore her heart was pumping like crazy just to get barely enough air in her lungs to keep the blood alive. The prognosis was death or an 8-hour long open heart surgery from which you never would recover. She would always be slow. She would always be on medicines. She would never be able to play and run. Mary and I got this wild idea. Let's trust God. Isn't that a novel little idea? We started fasting. But my lovely wife, she was brilliant. God tells us he loves us to pray back his word to him. So I printed out every scripture I could find on healing. And my wife would spend hours on her face reading those scriptures back and telling God, this is what you wrote in your book. Is this a lie or is it true? Is this a lie or is it true? You put this here. God, is it a lie? 17 days went by and she was deep in prayer. And just as if I'm standing right here and say it, she heard the Lord say, enough. It is done. Now, you know, I'm a little bit on the... So I had to fast till the operation. I fasted 3 more days. The operation was supposed to take 8 hours. It took 1.5 hours. You can barely crack open a heart, open heart chest and put it back together in 1.5 hours. She is now normal, healthy, no meds, and every single time the heart surgeon that operated on her sees her, he puts her in his arms and starts crying and saying, my miracle baby. That's the God we serve, and that is sowing the proper seed of faith. See, we don't see miracles happen because we don't believe it can. And we, if we do believe we can, we just don't want to take the time to worry about it. I've got a busy life, God. I'll give you 15 minutes in the morning for prayer. Give me a break. My cell phone's ringing. I gotta go answer that. You know, I bet you, could any of us here, and I'm not sure I could, I hope to God I could, but can any of us here say, we're gonna go up in the upper room of this church, we're gonna lock ourselves away for 10 days, we're not gonna take a phone call, we're not gonna see the outside world, and we're gonna pray for 10 straight days, fasting for a revival, and not leave that room? That we're going to wait in that upper chamber? You want the will of God, you got to communicate. You got to have that communication with Him. We got to get down and dirty and start saying, Lord, here I am. You know, Jesus said it. You will. He didn't say you might. You know, if you go through your Bible and see, Jesus uses the word verily. If you look it up in the Greek, that word doesn't just mean truthfully, it means an absolute positive truism. No chance of it being false. And to drive this point home, just go through the Gospels and see how many times Jesus tells you, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, this is this. If we can't believe that, we can't get past it. We've got to get back to basics. We have to get back to Christian basics. We have to get off of all of the little things that are floating around that everybody wants us to do. We have to get off of everything that everybody's preaching we should get at. We have to get back to the basics of the Bible and believe it and read it and understand it and say, when Jesus told me, truly, truly, I believe it. We know that there's churches out there, and I'm going to be polite and not mention names. There's churches out there that say they don't believe John 14:7. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. They have struck that from their constitution of their churches because they say everyone can come to God in their own way. Show me it. Show me it. We either believe it or we get out. Because you got a better chance as a heathen than you got as going out there and preaching a false doctrine. Now, I'm a firm believer of hell. And I've been told I'm a hell and damnation preacher sometime, but I can tell you. And this is my gospel according to Jay, but I firmly believe. You start preaching a gospel that's not in this book, you start turning this word around, you start changing it. There's three places in this word that God says, don't you touch this. Don't you change this. And my studies have shown me if you want to know what God really thinks, you study it and you find it three times and that's an absolute.
That's right.
If God said it through His Son, through His prophets, through His Word, through David, through anybody, and it's in here three full times, it's an absolute. You better never touch it.
Amen.
And when you take out, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Lord but me, you might as well just change your name of your church to the community center because you're not a church. Or the God you're serving ain't mine. You want the will of God in your life, you need this. And you need to believe this. If you're not going to believe every word and you're not going to follow every word, then don't even bother. You'll never go anywhere. If you want... You want this building so full you're doing three services? Spend the time on your face. You know, the day of Pentecost didn't happen because they had a potluck. The day of Pentecost happened because there was a room of 100. Can you imagine being in Jerusalem with 120 people stuffed in a room all praying for 10 days? I don't care how clean you are, that room had to have been getting pretty good. Did they leave? No, they stayed there because why? Their Lord said, go to Jerusalem and wait. You and I would have nothing if that first sermon hadn't been preached. Nothing. But they were willing to take it. Yesterday at the wedding, and I'll close with this, I started crying. Not because my daughter was getting married, but because the service they had at the wedding was so dry, you almost needed a glass of water from not choking. There was no spirit in it. There was no happiness in the pastor that was giving it. It was red, and the whole audience had to recite back. There was nothing. It was dead. Do we want a dead religion or do we want what Jesus promised us? What did He say? I came to give you life. More. Get that. Life. More. Abundantly. He didn't say I came to give you a lousy life. I didn't came to give you a miserable life. I came to give you life more abundantly. Do we want it? Do we want it? Then we've got to do it. God isn't going to do it for us. You know, America has become one of the more heathen nations in the world. We have killed more babies. We have more homosexuals controlling our legislature and our country. We have sin rampant. A friend of mine told me he used to watch a Christian broadcasting station, and he got rid of it because they started playing programs that use God's name in vain and other things. We as Christians have accepted so much garbage, it's time to say we've got to do what the Lord said.
Amen.
We sing the song, we're soldiers of the army of God. Whatever happened to those good old hymns? Soldiers just don't lay down and die. They fight. See, no, I'm not talking about taking your gun and turning it into a Freeman and blowing away somebody. We have more power right here. If we believed what this said, you and I could walk into the legislatures, and when that congressman started to do his bill on gays and homosexuals, and or the government of Canada, which they did, made the Bible hate speech. You know the Bible's hate speech in Canada right now? Several provinces, if I preach to you, even about, believe this or not, sodomy, and I use the Word of God as reason, they can throw me in jail. And if we believed what Jesus said, we would be like the apostles. When they started to propose that, we'd put our hands up and they'd shut up.
Amen.
And that's what power you and I have if we'll only hold on to it.
Amen.
That little girl being saved was nothing. In our ministry, we've seen a man healed of Crohn's syndrome. We've seen miracles, wonders. And it has nothing to do with Mary and I. It has to do with a belief in the Word of God. You want to do what this church wants? Believe. Mark chapter 5, verse 36, the most beautiful words Jesus ever said. Do not be afraid. Only believe. Think about those words. He's walking through the crowd. He's got a man whose daughter's dying. And, you know, have you ever had a daughter sick or a kid sick? You don't want to wait for somebody. That man's daughter was dying. You don't want to sit there and wait while the Son of God talks. I mean, even though he's the Son of God, you don't want to wait. You want to get him up here. Come on, I got a dying daughter. This woman stops him. Gets healed. What happens? Story is, the servants come and say, don't bother the master, she's dead. Don't bother the master, she's dead. Can't you picture the pain and dejection and sorrow in that man's heart? It's a wonder he didn't just collapse and Jesus had to raise him from the dead. Well, what did Jesus do? He didn't give him a sermon. He didn't tell him to repent and his daughter would be saved. He didn't tell him to pray through. He just looked at him. Simple words. Don't be afraid, just believe. And faith had to well up in that man because they went on down and raised her from the dead. Because if his faith had been totally gone, he would have just told Jesus, don't worry about it, I'm going to go bury her. But faith welled up when he heard those words. When you read this, when you read Jesus' words, let that faith well up. Close your eyes at times and picture being there walking with Jesus. Picture walking him down the way. Picture listening to him teach on top of the mount. I picture Jesus when he's talking about the rod and the little piece of dirt in your eye. I picture Jesus, if he had one handy, he picks up a big 2x4, stuffs it up against his face and says, how can you try to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye when you got a 2x4 in your face? See, put yourself in his feet and picture him and live with him.
Amen.
Life more abundantly.
Amen.
Life more abundantly. Make it your battle cry. The will of God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed or blessed be thy name. Raised above everything be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll take out earth. Thy will be done in my life and it is in heaven. You start praying that every day, that He does His will in your life, and I guarantee the minute you step out of it, you're going to get a siren going off. You're going to know it. You won't have to have somebody come up and say, "Brother, God showed me you're out of my will." You'll know it because your spirit will be so attuned to Jesus. The relationship, not a religion. That's what we need. No more religion, relationships. Let's get back to a relationship with Jesus. You want a relationship, you're in His will, and you'll see things happen that will make your eyeballs just roll in your head. I promise you that. I absolutely promise you, if you seek His will every day, you show up for the five nights your pastor's talking about, and you listen to those teachings, you ask God to show you, you'll see things in your life you never thought you could do. And it doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 110. God can use you. I have seen little old ladies in nursing homes where I have worked be able to preach Jesus better than any pastor ever has. God will use you if you'll let Him. And that's the thing. The dreaded human if. And you'll notice what if always starts with. I. See, we always get in the way. The apostles got in the way. Every one of them fell away. Every one of them fell away. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, there was one there. John. All the rest were hiding somewhere. But they came back stronger than ever. I spent 10 days praying for Pentecost. Power of the Spirit came down and 3,000 people were saved. We go a couple of chapters down the road. What are they doing? A couple of chapters down the road, they're at the gas station getting refilled. They're not living on that memory saying, "Oh, James, John, didn't we have a great time last week? Oh, how the power of the Spirit. Let's write our memoirs." No. A couple of chapters down in Acts, they're on their face getting refilled at the gas station waiting for the next bin. They're waiting for the next group. "Oh, we got more coming. We better fill up." That's the way we should be. We should be constantly filling up on the Word of God. Filling up at the gas station of God. The gas station of the Holy Spirit. Bring it down to home. You ain't going to drive your car if you don't put something in it. You ain't going to do the will of God if you don't put something in it. If you're not in this thing every day, you're not filling yourself up every day, you're not keeping yourself tuned up and running smooth, give it up. Just be a pew sitter.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to You right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that You would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with Your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow You. Thank You, Father, for sending Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank You that He has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at Your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank You, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@HisWillMinistry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@HisWillMinistry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.